listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And good evening, good day, good morning, wherever you are. Welcome to Metaphysical Universe. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly. It is, Wednesday, October 8th, 2014, here, of course, with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. I'm looking forward to tonight's show, but I understand we haven't found Dr. Manisha yet, all the way from India.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're waiting, is what I'm saying.
And we also have, of course, here Michael Kelly manning the phones. He's here with us, and you're live.
Hey, live. Everybody.
It's not Saturday night.
Not Saturday night, but we are live. I know we're having some technical difficulties, but it's going to be a great show tonight. And as always, we welcome any questions or comments you may have. And you can reach us by calling 714-459-3973. Or you can connect with us in the chat room.
Oh, Michael is so good.
Yeah,
I try.
Of course he is. Duh. Just look at his last
name.
It's
in the genes.
He's a pro.
Yep. All right, so thanks, bud. And tonight we'll be talking about chakras and the validity of paranormal certifications. But as Dr. Hunter said, we're having some difficulty connecting with India tonight. So Dr. Manisha Anwakar is not yet on. I don't know if they're having issues or what. But so what we're going to do is we're going to flip-flop. We're going to talk about chakras first and her new book, which just is being released actually Friday. It might be released technically already, but she's doing the official release on Friday. Her new book is Chakra View, A Peek into the Amazing World of Chakras by Dr. Manisha Anwakar.
You know, if I can interject here to tell any of our listeners that Manisha is a graduate of IMHS.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Yay. We think alike.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, no.
Anyway, Dr. Manisha graduated a couple years ago from IMHS, and she's gone on to do some great things, including writing her first book. And I had a chance to review it. I'm going to be part of the launch on Friday via Skype. And she did a good job on it. It's more than just chakras. It's practical life skills. It's very, very well written, very clearly written. She did a nice job on it. I'm very proud of her for that. And she's got her website, Spiritual Connect, Facebook page, and so forth, where she helps other people. So, you know, she's doing exactly what students should do, and I'm happy for her and proud of her for doing that. So we will. So we'll give it a few minutes, and perhaps she'll come online, and we'll get her on. I know I just emailed with her an hour ago, so there might be some internet issues or something going on that's preventing her from coming on. So we'll talk about the validity of paranormal certification. We're going to forego the profession of beliefs tonight. We'll do that next week, and we'll get right into our program. But let me just first state, just for those of you who are new with us, Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. We offer bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics. For more information, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. Or if you would just like a standalone course on a number of different topics or certification, such as in the area of life coaching, spiritual counseling, and you just want a certification, you don't want a degree, but you want a certification, you can get those at ichsworld.org. All right, so, excuse me, I usually mute that, and I wasn't quick enough.
Well, I would like to ask you a question about CPI courses and what's largely available out there, of course, but what's also available with IMHS and ICHS. And, I'm confused about how anybody can be a paranormal investigator. And really what we're going to address tonight is the credibility in being an investigator. So how does somebody go about doing this? Like, really, what's involved? That's what I want to ask you.
And that's a good question. How does somebody go about becoming a paranormal investigator? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, and like, not just, but what's involved in it? Like, how would you possibly investigate ghosts unless it's for a TV show? You know, like, what's involved? Like, is there equipment? Is there data? Is there, like, I mean, how real is it and how legitimate is it?
Well, that's a lot of questions. It covers a lot of areas. So let me give you the nutshell, and then we'll get into the validity of the training. The CPI course is Certified Paranormal Investigator course, which I released back in 2007, about 7 years ago. Man, time flies. And, you know, many people have taken it and have become CPIs. They use CPI after their name. Of course, at the time, and I'll get into this more, this is the point of our discussion tonight, is that, you know, got a lot of flack for it. But the CPI course basically is my approach to paranormal investigation, and it includes practical life skills because you have to have them. It includes an introduction to the life leadership paragon, which consists of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and self-completeness. And if you don't have those three skills leading to self-completeness, you're not going to be successful in anything you do, including paranormal investigation. So in that course, I teach assertive communication skills. I teach relationship skills to a point. I mean, it's an introduction. It's not as deeply covered as in our degree program or our certification programs, but it's in there. And so, I mean, almost every student I get that completes this CPI course tells me how much they enjoyed it and how much it helped them. So that's part of it. Obviously, the course teaches about the paranormal too. It goes into the different, what are thought to be the different types of ghosts, including poltergeists, or which is RSPK phenomena, recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis phenomena. It, you know, it gets into malevolent spirits. It gets into residuals, you know, and basically live spirits, you know, who are actually there. And it discusses some of the different theories that we have regarding those. And I put those over as theories. I offer those as theories rather than facts because we don't really know. We have some compelling evidence to suggest some different things, but it does, and it does cover that. It covers equipment. It covers analysis. It's a good introduction to analysis. It gives a great section on photography and orbs and why they're not paranormal in nature. Typically think of orbs. Yeah.
Orbs are not spirits.
Yeah.
God, you just took the wind right out of my sail.
I know. I went out of lawn people's sails.
So,
but anyway, it goes through all this stuff.
What does the equipment read? Like, does it read frequencies? Like, what kind of equipment are we talking? Are we talking infrared light? Are we talking, like, something that can actually read, like, electromagnetic frequency? Or what kind of equipment is it?
Well, there's different pieces of equipment. EMF meters, which is electromagnetic frequency or field frequencies, is what will read electromagnetic fields or frequencies. So if you take one near any kind of an electrical device, you're going to get a reading. And those are, they've been put out there as ghost detectors. Well, that's not necessarily true. They read electromagnetic energy. And so they're very useful in determining whether there's high EMFs in an area produced by man-made sources, such as power lines, such as anything that radiates, you know, electromagnetic fields, microwaves, things like that. And so because if there's high EMFs in an area, that can lend or contribute to the feeling of being watched, which so many people have. And so if you are able to track down the source of those high EMFs, it might be something as simple as moving an electronic device from next to your bed to somewhere else, or replacing it with something that doesn't emit so much energy.
Huh.
So that's,
I had no idea.
That's an EMF meter. Obviously, there's other pieces of equipment. There's all kinds of equipment.
What about temperature? It's temperature.
Yeah, thermometers, infrared thermometers. There's, you know, there's infrared photography. There's regular photography, video. I mean, there's motion detectors. There's some other controversial ones like the Ovilus Frank's box, also known as Ghost Box, where it scans through radio frequencies and picks out certain words from different active radio stations, allegedly forming a sentence or a response to a question. Then, of course, there's EVPs, EVPs is, and pardon me, folks, tonight, I'm sorry, I got 3 hours of sleep last night and I can't think. So
no, it's a full moon.
Yeah, and that too.
It is. It's a full moon eclipse.
And I know EVPs. Awesome. As well as I know my name, but I couldn't tell you that right now either. So EVPs are audio recordings that allegedly contain the voices of spirits and so forth. And much of this we can explain. EVPs, there are some really compelling EVPs out there. And I've captured some myself. They're just some really compelling ones, and you can explain those away. Now, that's just a quick rundown. And by the way, the CPI course does discuss how to do investigations and a number of other things. So that's the CPI course. It's basically a certification course. Now, to the point under discussion for tonight is, are they valid? Is there any validity to these certification courses? And there's not many of them. I mean, mine was one of the very first certification courses out there, and as far as I'm concerned, it's still the best. And it's gone under the name of Paranexus CPI course. It was first the Spirit Team CPI course. Now it's offered at ICHSWorld.org as the Paranormal Certification, Paranormal Investigative Certification course. We also expanded it into two courses, really expanded it, and that is taught at IMHS, or the Metaphysics Institute, as part of the degree program for those students who specialize in paranormal science, parapsychology, ufology. It is also taught at ICHS World as part of the paranormal science and ufology certification. It's an advanced CPI. And so the thing is that when I first released that back in 07, got a lot of flack for it. People told me I was a scammer, a charlatan. The ghost hunters out there have, it's very controversial with them because they have been brainwashed by the popular celebrity types who are not only authors but also the reality TV shows to telling them all this stuff. They're basically contaminating their minds. They're telling them that nobody can certify you because we don't know what's going on and there are no experts in the field. Those are the two biggies. So these ghost hunters, and I differentiate, when I use the term ghost hunter, I'm talking about amateurs. I'm talking about people who go out weekend warriors who want to do it but are not all that interested in really educating themselves. That's as opposed to paranormal researchers, anomalous researchers, people who are really serious about it, because anybody who is serious about it will educate themselves. It's the uneducated and the ignorant, in my opinion, that refute the value of further training. So they're saying that, you know, we don't know what's going on, so it's not ethical to certify somebody. You're just taking their money. And that couldn't be further from the truth. There's a lot to know about paranormal investigation. You don't just slap on a camera, an EMF meter, and a digital recorder and go and sit around in some house waiting for something to happen. That's the thrill seekers. That's the weekend warriors. We really want to know what's going on, so there's a scientific approach to it. And unless you've been trained in it, or unless you've really researched it and figured it out yourself, you're not going to know that. You got to get the training, and that's what the CPI course does, as well as our advanced degrees in paranormal science. So the claim that they're unethical, or that, you know, we're just scamming, we're just people are more making money. Well, that's just not right. And it's born from ignorance. It's born from a lack of knowing and educating yourself. And the people who've criticized the CPI course and others like it are the very ones who have never taken it.
Yeah, if I'm hearing this all correctly, because I'm playing a little bit of devil's advocate here, and because I have not, although I've wanted to, I have not taken the CPI course and studied all the equipment and such. So what I'm hearing from you, though, is your introduction into the CPI course is for somebody to self-study. And that, what I'm gathering, too, would be so that they know themselves better to know what they're looking at.
Yes.
So if I know myself and I can understand some critical thinking and, you know, how I might have certain prejudices or biases or belief systems, those things will influence what I'm looking at. And you're trying to train people into some objectivity, correct?
Absolutely. Critical thinking.
Okay.
We're also
trying
to correct myths. Like the big one is that orbs are spirits. No, they're not. They're airborne particles for the most part. You know, now, is it possible that a spirit could manifest in the form of an orb on a photograph? I suppose. But people really jump to conclusions when they see these orbs. And, of course, then we've got Stanford University former doctors or professors who are writing books on orbs and how they're sentient entities. And I refuted every one of those claims. And you know what? Look, I want them to be true, too. I'd love for them to be spirits, folks. I would love for that to be the case. But when you're a serious anomalous researcher, you can't afford to let your preconceived notions color your conclusions. And that's the fastest way to lose credibility. And so, you know, what about this little orb thing on a picture? Why make the jump all the way to paranormal? It's, you know, dear old Aunt Marge. Well, because we were at the funeral and now there's orbs everywhere. Well, no. The orb phenomena really began in the late 90s with the advent of compact digital cameras where the flash is very close to the lens and it illuminates airborne particles that are close to the lens and sometimes when they're further away from the lens and creates these little orbs, these shining lights. And the thing that kills me is when, you know, there's a section, everybody knows this, you know, you have to focus your camera, right? Depending on the distance, there's a certain distance where everything is in focus. And if you're too close, it's out of focus. And if you're too far away, it's out of focus. So you got to find that sweet spot, right? Well, outside of that focus area is the circle of confusion. That's what it's called. And everything's out of focus. So they'll get orbs that are in that circle of confusion that are blurry. And then they're starting to find faces and all kinds of things. Now we're really jumping to conclusions. And they want it to be true so bad because people want to know what happens after death. What happens to us when we die? And what happened to my loved one? They want to know that. I understand that. I want to know too. But we can't make those leaps. And so the CPI course dispels that scientifically, that the orbs are not automatically paranormal phenomena. And there's got to be a lot to them and with corroborating evidence to even go there. Now, there are times when people have seen orbs with their naked eye. We don't know what that could be, ball lightning, although it's very rare. But could that be a paranormal event? Could they be psychically sensitive and they're seeing this energy manifest in the form of an orb? Could it happen? Sure. And there's been a lot of stories that way. And, I'm a little more open to that. But again, we want to be careful of not making too much of a leap. And that's what the CPI course teaches, to think for yourself and not allow preconceived notions to color your conclusions. Basically, when you are a researcher, you want to ask the question, what are the facts and what do those facts tell us? And you continue to ask that question until you start to develop some compelling theories.
Is there not kind of a parallel then to a CPI course in this regard to ufology?
Oh, yeah. And I'll get into that in just a moment. The next big thing and the last big thing I wanted to bring out in terms of the the claims of those who say that these courses are unethical or they're just no good, they're crap, is that the ghost hunter community will say there are no experts in the field. That is absolutely born of ignorance. And I know that because I once believed that back in the day, back in the, you know, in 06, 05, in there. I believe this. I said the same thing in talks that I gave. There are no experts in the field. I came to understand that that's baloney. There are experts in the field, and there are perceived experts in the field. And one of the big reasons that we have such an attitude against further training in the paranormal field is because of the perceived experts in the paranormal field. They're not necessarily experts, but they're held out as experts. They're on TV. They write a zillion books, and they're not always right on. They're not always thinking through things. They're selling books. So let's talk about who's ethical here. In fact, some of the reality TV shows have been caught in staging some of these events. Tell me, let's talk about ethics now, because that's unethical. That's wrong. And they're the ones teaching this generation of amateur ghost hunters who just don't know any better, and they've got them brainwashed. They say there's no experts. That's ridiculous. Well, let me show you or explain why. Let's take quantum physics. You ask any quantum physicist, if we really understand quantum physics, they're going to tell you flat out, no, we don't. We have a whole bunch of theories. One of them, string theory, membrane theory. We have lots of theories, and they seem to make sense sometimes. There's the many worlds theory. You ever heard that one? That's where there's an infinite number of parallel universes that have every conceivable instance of you and me and everything else doing anything we could potentially ever do. Now, come on, let's talk about that. That's a bit on the far outside. But
my favorite, though. But it is my favorite.
Yeah, but there's some evidence that would suggest that. But it's all theory. And yet you take men, pioneers in the field, like Michio Kaku, who is an open-minded scientist, one of many, who is an expert in it. And they're considered an expert in it. But we don't know what's going on, for sure. We can't prove some of this stuff. You know, there's exoplanets out there. We have theories to try to identify these exoplanets. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things. They make a lot of assumptions, and sometimes they're dead on. But there's a lot of theories that we just think, like the Big Bang Theory, for crying out loud. We can't prove that either, but it seems to answer a lot of questions, but it raises questions too.
So, I think that there's what most people don't realize is that there's been a lot of study in many universities for decades about psychic phenomenon that includes spirits or entities. It's been going on for a long time.
Well,
so when they say there's no experts, I don't know how much more expert you can get, you know, when they're actual scientists in universities doing this research. So
there are experts in the field, and there are experts in the paranormal field. And so that whole notion is dispelled. So and here's one of the things that's kind of disillusioned me from the whole paranormal research field. And this is nothing new. This happened several years ago. I just became disillusioned with it. Why? Because you've got all this bickering going on. You've got all these people trying to one-up each other, not sharing data, not really trying to answer the questions that are before us that could benefit humanity. And now let's compare the paranormal research field with the field of ufology. It's funny. I don't see any griping going on about certification courses in the UFO field. You know, MUFON has had the field investigator certification course for decades, and I don't see crap about that. I don't see, you know, the depth that I see in the paranormal research field. I don't see people bickering and fighting over things. Of course, there's always human politics involved here and there, but you don't see the same stuff over there in UFOs as you do in the paranormal, and especially among the ghost hunter community, which is the largest segment of it. You don't see bickering and fighting among serious professional anomalous researchers, parapsychologists. You just don't see that as a rule, but you do see it among those who refuse to get educated. And so that, in fact, one article I read yesterday on complaining and talking against certification courses said that none of us ever stand up to defend ourselves. Well, there's a couple of reasons for that, perhaps. I'm defending ourselves now, and I have defended myself in the past. But one reason is that explanations rarely explain. If they want to believe they're experts, that this is all, that certification courses are bunk and there are no experts in the field, there's nothing I can do to change their mind. And honestly, I don't care to change their mind. I am too busy doing my own research to worry about what they think or to worry whether they think the CPI course is worth it. I just don't care. You know, hundreds and hundreds of people have taken and passed that course, and they've benefited from it. It's changed lives in ways they didn't even perceive or even figure on in the beginning. So, you know, we do defend it, but there's a point that it's a waste of time. And so that's why we haven't done it as loudly, perhaps, as them.
So does there seem to be any, I know I'm changing subjects here for a sec, because we're nearing the half hour. Is there any sign of our Dr. Manisha?
I have been intermittently looking. No sign. So let me wrap up this segment, and then we're going to get into the chakras, and Dr. Vicky is going to explain that because she knows everything you always want to know about chakras. Great to ask. So anyway, to wrap up this thing, if you have an interest in paranormal research and you haven't taken a certification course, then I highly encourage you to go to ichsworld.org and take the CPI course. Right now, the tuition is $125. Everything's provided for you. It's not a cakewalk. It will take some effort on your part, and it will give you a good ground, foundation for doing paranormal investigation. And the next tip I can tell you, stay away from the ghost hunting community. I even teach, again, we're not ghost hunting. I don't hunt ghosts. I don't hunt ghosts anymore, and I would hunt people. We don't hunt ghosts. That's amateurish. That's ignorance. We research paranormal phenomena, anomalous phenomena, because we want to know what's going on. So go check it out. And if you really want to take it to the next level, then go to metaphysicsinstitute.org and enroll in the degree program. You can choose parapsychology, paranormal science, ufology as your specialization, or you can choose a whole different specialization. You can specialize in spiritual counseling and still take the paranormal courses as electives, perhaps as a side if you'd like. But that's how you can get further educated in this. And there are other courses out there. I've heard about them. I've seen them here and there, but I don't know anything about them, so I can't recommend them. If I knew more about them and felt they were good, then I would certainly recommend them as a possibility, but I can't. So if you have any questions, you can always email me, admin@isomh.org. All right, chakras.
Chakras. You know, if I can say this about ufology, because I have to go back, I know we're flitting back and forth a bit here, but there is so many videos on YouTube, and everybody's posting pictures of things flying around in the sky. That to me is way, it's just incredible. There's so many government or other, you know, corporate flying machines now, mm-hmm. that it's very, very difficult mm-hmm. to discern which is an alien craft. Mm-hmm. Versus, you know, just something that's quite explainable, you know, from air balloons to drones. I mean, they're everywhere. If somebody shows me pictures that were years ago before the internet and before this other stuff, I think it has way more credibility. But again, it's what people are claiming. So there's that sensibility that we all have to have, which lends me right into matters of chakras and understanding any kind of out of the ordinary kind of a study requires a certain sensibility, you know, and a certain logic. But we're talking about energy. A lot, you know, we mentioned earlier about theories. We're working with theories. And I think that there's a collective consciousness that we all kind of tap into and agree on. You know, it's like, what does the color yellow mean, for instance? And, well, that's the sun. Well, the sun is like life. Without the sun, we don't have life. And so where would we imagine life to be except maybe in the umbilical cord, right? That makes sense because that's where you're fed life. And without the sun, we don't have life. Without the umbilical cord, we don't give life. So there's a certain sensibility that we can kind of correlate and draw parallels to, and that's again with some critical thinking. Basically, when I look at and study anything, it's if it's true over here, then there has to be a parallel to make it true over there, over here, over there, and try to find a different angles where I could come up with something a little bit more closer to a, you know, that resonates more truthfully, I suppose is what I want to say. So in studying the body, I think that there's relationships with the body to everything outside of ourselves, you know, where the center points are or where the above and below and so on. I happen to have just a little bit of a different twist than I think most people do about how we measure the body in its balancing, and that I think the upper half is the spiritual side of our body. The lower half is the more physical side of the body. And I have read umpteen books that specialists say that it's quite the reverse. You know, we want to go into the spiritual part of the body, which is the lower part, and that just doesn't make any sense to me. So to me, the more grounded we are, the more earth we are, the more human we are. You know, so that's in the lower part. So there are seven energy spots in the body that the primary understanding of chakras works with. There are more, by the way, but there are seven, very much like seven notes on a scale that we've reduced it to in our collective consciousness. So from the top of the body, the very top of the head, that would be that violet. That's, in my view, where the spirit kind of is connected with the silver thread that goes all the way down the spine. So that would be, in my view, how the spirit connects. The third eye, which is connects through the middle of the forehead, also connects to the pineal gland. So that's that, what does your spirit see, or what are you seeing? The throat chakra is blue. Anything in and around, like under the chin and around the throat. It's how you speak on your own behalf. That's my translation of it. So in these three top chakras is, in again, yes, it can be mental because we have all our brain activity there, which is an organ. But we also have that, in my view, that spiritual, more the essence of who we are. The heart chakra, lungs and so on, is green. So if you think the sky and earth underneath green, it's trees, grass and so on, that's green, that's the middle part. So that's what I mean by these relationships with nature, or relationships with our bodies and things outside of ourselves. So green is that heart center. Well, we move a little lower, just above the umbilical cord, that's the emotional center, and that's what we relate to as yellow. If you lower intestines and the reproductive organs and so on would be orange. And for the life of me, I don't know why it would be orange, except that it's orange. Again, we all agree to have it orange. The root chakra, which is like the tip of the tailbone, or the base, you know, how we're grounded, that would be earth red. So, you know, that's, again, maybe that orange in there and somewhere, you know, I've studied this a long time, and yellow to red, blending that in the two, yeah, it's a muted orange. That's the only logic I can come up with, that, you know, we choose to have it as orange. So those seven what we call chakras or energy spots, as long as they're all kind of vibrating to similar frequencies, we stay in balance. And I think this is the main teaching in chakra study, is how to balance your own energy to be spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically intact. You know, as a lot of people, that I see, I say that they're not in their body. It's because they're living from the neck up. You know, it's all their thinking stuff. And it's like there's a lacking of a connectedness or a groundedness. So that's why I say they're not really in their body. Well, even a chakra meditation can begin to help people to bring their energy down into their body and start feeling and sensing and then thinking their way through life instead of just thinking or randomly emotionally thinking, you know, because that happens. Now, just to take this study just a little bit further, there is an auric body around, like around everyone. That is also a chakra, the eighth chakra. You vibrating to the earth's frequency is a ninth chakra. Going further out, like to the moon, the tenth, you know, and then the galaxy and the universe, right, to 12. You know, a lot of people claim to be the 12 primary chakras. I find it really fascinating just how to connect to various colors, because there's also music and musical scales and musical notes that goes along with every color, which is another discussion for another day. But there's also the equal and opposite. In the back, for instance, in the chest chakra, if you go straight to the back from the green, between the shoulder blades, it's considered to be turquoise. So there's other colors of the rainbow on the other side, if you can get a visual on that. There's also claims that there's a new chakra energy spot in our evolution that's opening up between the heart and the throat that resonates to that turquoise. So the claim is that a lot of people who have back problems or that upper back, you know, stresses, is that energy chakra starting to vibrate to a higher frequency and open up. So it makes for more intuitive people, I suppose, more sensory, perceptive people. So again, theoretically, as we're an evolving species, we're physically in our bodies developing an eighth chakra. I assume then that there's other chakras that we could take this study even further and further and further, you know, because there's many colors in a rainbow and every other variation that you can imagine.
And Dr. Manisha, in her book, her new book, does go into quite a number of, she doesn't, you know, discuss every one of them, but she mentioned the fact that there could be thousands of them.
Oh, interesting. I really look forward to reading her book because it's, from what I understand, she is taking it that extra step further and putting it into some kind of practical or sensible life skill message in her book. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she applies all of them to different life skills, but she also really asks some excellent probing questions regarding the particular chakra and what's out of sync in life, what's out of balance in a person's life. And it's good thought-provoking. It's a great way for self-discovery. It's kind of the way we do our inner oracle cards, is their statements to get you thinking. And so she's done a similar thing, and she's got several questions, probably 5 or 6, 7 questions that are thought-provoking for each of the chakras that she discusses. The book is, at least the e-book that I have, is a little over 100 pages. Again, well-written. It's called Chakra View, A Peek into the Amazing World of Chakras by Dr. Manisha Anwakar. You can find her website at spiritualconnect.org. It's spiritual and then K-O-N-N-E-C-T. Connect is spelled a little bit different. spiritualconnect.org, and I didn't see her book on there yet, but again, the official launch is on Friday in 2 days, on October 10th. So that's that. We've got just a couple of, we've only got about 5 minutes left, so go ahead and wrap up, and I have in the next minute, and then I want to talk about a couple other quick things before we sign off.
Well, I'm just saying I'm excited to read Manisha's book because she takes it to another level, and I think that there's a cultural influence too, because, you know, maybe a lot of people don't know this, but way back in, like, probably the 1930s or thereabouts, it was, oh, gee, here I go. Now my brain won't remember her name.
Welcome to my club.
Oh, today is not good.
Electronic voice phenomena, how hard is that one?
Yeah, I know. But anyway, it was a lot of our paranormal study came from India and the Middle East, when, you know, there were these other various spiritual groups evolving out of the turn of the century, 1920s, 1930s, 1940s. So our, you know, introductions to the study of chakras came from India. Hmm. So that's really important, which is, it excites me to read Manisha's book that, you know, she is in India. That's great. That I'm excited about that. So just wanted to throw it in.
Yep, that's good. We wish her the best of success on that book. And I'm, for those who are listening live in the chat room, I put the spiritualconnect.org link in there, as well as the name of the book, Chakra View, A Peek into the Amazing World of Chakras. And don't forget, Spiritual Connect is connect with a K, K-O-N-N-E-C-T, spiritualconnect.org. All right,
Levinsky. Levinsky is the one.
Yeah, it always comes to you.
Yeah, there we go. I just had to throw it in. It popped in my head. Madame Blavinsky is the one who brought a lot of the study, East Indian study, to North America, which she's the one. Anyway, Doug, there you go.
All right. So in the 3 minutes remaining, I wanted to talk a little bit about what I'm doing here with some new stuff. I just tomorrow morning signing a lease on a physical location here in Florida where I'm at to further develop the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism, the actual religious organization part of it, the ministerial organization part of it. We're going to be getting that place ready over the coming weeks, and we'll start to do some weekly services as well as some training courses and classes as an extension of ICHS here in Northport, Florida. So, you know, anyone living in Sarasota, Venice, Englewood, Port Charlotte, and the surrounding areas here, Nokomis, Osprey, you know, it's within easy driving distance, and we'll make more announcements about that very soon. But I wanted to announce that it'll take us a little bit of time to just get it up and going, make some changes to the floor plans, and accumulating some stuff. We'll be able to do some video lectures. We'll have people using Skype to come in via Skype and address the groups and so forth. And I'm hoping...
Another great step.
And I'm hoping to be able to record these weekly services once we get them going. We build a local membership here, and we put those on the Society's website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So if you'd like to learn more about metaphysical humanism, visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. If you'd like a degree in metaphysics, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. If you'd like to just take a standalone course, such as a CPI course, as what we discussed earlier, ICHSworld.org. And there are other courses at ICHS you can take standalone. There's Reiki, there's Dr. Hunter's Tarot courses,
numerology,
and many others. There's also a leading certified paranormal investigator, which is a great leadership course that would help people even in their secular job. So there's a lot of good stuff. There's great courses. We have great courses. We have great curriculum. We have great content, and we're trying to do the right thing. So until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and really live. We really appreciate your time. Hope you have a great week. Good night.
Good night.